191 years ago this morning, in the Monroe County Courthouse, the first service was held by the congregation that later that day would officially be named St. Paul's Episcopal Church of Key West. Happy birthday, St. Paul's, 191 years young. And happy birthday, baby Jesus. Welcome again. And welcome to all of you who've come to celebrate both these happy events on this beautiful morning. It's a delight to celebrate the birthday of this oldest U.S. congregation of any kind south of St. Augustine. And together with St. Peter's, four blocks farther south, we are the southernmost Episcopal outpost of the Jesus movement in the continental U.S. It's also a good opportunity on Christmas morning to pause and remember that for the first 300 years of what we now call Christianity, there was no Christmas. Not because Jesus hadn't come and people didn't know about it and the movement hadn't begun, but because Christmas as a festival hadn't been invented yet. Can you imagine? But then some things and Christianity went and it's mixed, and Christianity went from being a persecuted religious minority group to a tolerated religion within the Roman Empire, to the personal religion of the emperor, and then to the state religion of the entire Roman Empire. And after that, things began to accelerate with the development of what we now celebrate as the Feast of Christmas, the festival of the Nativity of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The earliest Christmas sermon that we have was first preached in the year 386. Christmas Day 386. Can you do the math real fast? I can't. I'm very tired after last night, so I'd use my calculator. That's 1,637 years ago today. Slightly older than St. Paul's. The preacher was a young man named John. Not the one we just read about, but one of countless millions named for him. He preached this sermon in the very first year of his public ministry. It's a pretty good start. The location of the sermon was Antioch in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey. Antioch, which you may remember, is where they were first called Christians. Later, this young man named John would become Bishop of Constantinople and a doctor of the church. And after his death, he would be canonized as a saint. Because of his skillful preaching throughout his vocational ministry, he earned the nickname Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. St. John Chrysostom. This morning, on the 191st birthday of the congregation of St. Paul's Key West, our Christmas Day sermon is a slightly, lightly edited English translation of St. John Chrysostom's Christmas sermon from the year 386. Hear these ancient yet fresh words. Behold, a new and wondrous mystery. My ears resound to the shepherd's song, piping no soft melody, but chanting full forth a heavenly hymn. The angels sing. The archangels blend their voice in harmony. The cherubim hymn their joyful praise. The seraphim exalt his glory. All join to praise this holy feast, beholding the Godhead here on earth and humanity in heaven. He who is above now for our redemption dwells here below, and he that was lowly is by divine mercy raised. Bethlehem this day resembles heaven. hearing from the stars the singing of angelic voices, and in place of the sun enfolds within itself on every side the sun of justice. And ask not how, for where God wills, the order of nature yields. For he willed, he had the power, he descended, he redeemed. All things yielded in obedience to God. This day he who is born, and he who is becomes what he was not. For when he was God, he became human, yet not departing from the Godhead that is his, nor yet by any loss of divinity became he human, nor through increase became he God from human. But being the Word, he became flesh, his nature because of impassibility remaining unchanged. And so the kings have come, and they have seen the heavenly king that has come upon the earth, not bringing with him angels, nor archangels, nor thrones, nor dominations, nor powers, nor principalities, but treading a new and solitary path. He has come forth from a spotless womb. Since this heavenly birth cannot be described, neither does his coming amongst us in these days permit of too curious scrutiny. Though I know that a virgin this day gave birth, and I believe that God was begotten before all time, yet the manner of this generation I have learned to venerate in silence. And I accept that this is not to be probed too curiously by wordy speech. For with God, we look not for the order of nature, but rest our faith in the power of him who works. What shall I say to you? What shall I tell you? I behold a mother who has brought forth. I see a child come to this light by birth. The manner of his conception I cannot comprehend. Nature here rested while the will of God labored. Oh, ineffable grace, the only begotten, who is before all ages, who cannot be touched or be perceived, who is simple without body, has now put on my body that is visible and liable to corruption. For what reason? That coming amongst us, he may teach us. And teaching, lead us by the hand to the things that humans cannot see. For since humans believe that the eyes are more trustworthy than the ears, they doubt of that which they do not see. And so he has deigned to show himself in bodily presence that he may remove all doubt. Christ, finding the holy body and soul of the Virgin, builds for himself a living temple, and as he had willed, formed there a human from the Virgin, and putting him on this day, came forth unashamed of the lowliness of our nature. For it was to him no lowering to put on what he himself had made. Let that handiwork be forever glorified, which became the cloak of its own creator. For as in the first creation of flesh, humanity could not be made before the clay had come into God's hand, so neither could this corruptible body be glorified until it had first become the garment of its maker. What shall I say? And how shall I describe this birth to you? For this wonder fills me with astonishment. The Ancient of Days has become an infant. He who sits upon the sublime and heavenly throne now lies in a manger. And he who cannot be touched, who is simple without complexity and incorporeal, now lies subject to the hands of humans. He who has broken the bonds of sinners is now bound by an infant's bands. But he has decreed that ignominy shall become honor, infamy be clothed with glory, and total humiliation the measure of his goodness. For this he assumed my body, that I may become capable of his word. Taking my flesh, he gives me his spirit. And so he bestowing and I receiving, he prepares for me the treasure of life. He takes my flesh to sanctify me. He gives me his spirit that he may save me. Come then, let us observe the feast. Truly wondrous is the whole chronicle of the Nativity. For this day, the ancient slavery is ended, the devil confounded, the demons take to flight. The power of death is broken. Paradise is unlocked. The curse is taken away. Sin is removed from us. Error driven out. Truth has been brought back. The speech of kindliness diffused and spreads on every side. A heavenly way of life has been implanted on the earth. Angels communicate with humans without fear, and humans now hold speech with angels. Why is this? Because God is now on earth and humanity in heaven. On every side, all things commingle. He became flesh. He did not become God. He was God. Wherefore, he became flesh so that he whom heaven did not contain, a manger, would this day receive. He was placed in a manger so that he, by whom all things are nourished, may receive an infant's food from his virgin mother. So the Father of all ages, as an infant at the breast, nestles in the virginal arms, that the Magi may more easily see him. Since this day, the Magi too have come and made a beginning of withstanding tyranny, and the heavens give glory as the Lord is revealed by a star. To him then, who out of confusion has wrought a clear path to Christ, to the Creator, and to the Holy Spirit, we offer all praise now and forever. And God's people said, Amen. Merry Christmas.